News that might change your grocery list. A major medical study from the Harvard School of Public Health raising a giant red flag about eating red meat. We've heard concern before, but this new report warns that eating red meat every day can take years off your life.
Okay. 10:36 now on this Tuesday morning. I would have been called an absolute hypocrite if I did not have Pam Colleen in this morning to address this issue of red meat. So here she is. Called her this morning, and I know I said to Pam, I know it's going to cost me double to have you in on a Tuesday. But here
well,
you are.
I'm glad. I'm glad you did, because Andy, we need to bring people back down to common sense. You know, if I want listeners to take take a lot of caution when they hear this information about meat phobia, because when you look at the research or the history of our eating habits here in North America, back in the 1800s, we were known as a nation of meat eaters, and if you look at the literature in the 1800s, whether it was newspapers or cookbooks, for example, you'll see that we didn't have meat phobia back then. And guess what? We were pretty healthy back then.
We were pretty darn healthy. So, yeah. Folks, hang on. Don't make any judgment on the report last night on ABC News, which, let me give you the Reader's Digest version. Folks, I hate to tell you this as you sit down to your wonderful roast beef dinner, but if you eat that, you're going to die sooner than you want to. Did you hear me? You're going to die. And then on Canada AM, again this morning. In fact, let me play you the report last night on ABC News. You just heard the opener. But Richard Besser did the report. And then Pam and I will chat.
It was once an iconic image. President Bill Clinton and his burgers. But today, a different Clinton. Vegan. That's right. After years of heart trouble, the former president now eats no meat at all.
I mostly eat vegetables, fruits, and whole grain bread, and I just feel better doing it.
Clinton may end up living longer. According to a sweeping new study whose headline is, the more red meat you eat, the more likely you are to die.
Higher red meat consumption was associated with a higher risk of premature death.
When more than 120,000 Americans recorded their diet for 20 years, researchers found eating just one serving more of red meat a day can increase your risk of death by 12%. Your chances of dying of heart disease goes up by 16% and cancer by 10%. But keep in mind that one serving is only the size of a deck of cards, not close to the portions you'd get in a restaurant or probably even at home. Processed meats, bacon, hot dogs, possibly even worse.
Both processed and unprocessed red meat had higher risk of premature deaths, but the processed meat was definitely somewhat higher.
Bacon on a burger? You don't even want to think about it.
So instead of the red meat, what did they learn?
Well, you want to substitute. Look, we eat about 120 pounds of red meat per year. That means people are having red meat every single day. And what they found was if you substitute red meat with things like fish, chicken, nuts, it dramatically lowered people's risk of dying.
So what's safe to eat?
Well, you know, occasionally. Today I had a hamburger for lunch.
I knew you did. I was going to bust you on it.
It was delicious, but I wouldn't do it more than twice a week. I think if you think about twice a week for red meat, you're in a safe zone.
Now, when I saw that, I thought, right now, Pam Colleen has probably grabbed her iron and thrown it at the TV. She's so angry. Well, Pam Colleen is in studio. She didn't run. I expected to hear her engine running and down the 401 so that Andy couldn't call her. But boom, here she is in the studio, and she's going to address these you're going to die warnings head on. Pam?
Right. Well, before World War II, 90% of our beef cattle were grass-fed, Andy. And before World War II, we didn't have meat phobia. So things have changed dramatically since the fat phobia craze hit post-World War II. And I want to point out a very severe, very blatant contradiction in what Harvard School of Public Health is saying. In 2006, they actually did publish some research in JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, which basically showed that there were no benefits for a low-fat diet. Women assigned to this eating strategy did not appear to gain protection against breast cancer, colorectal cancer, or cardiovascular disease. And after 8 years, there their weights were generally the same as those of women following their usual diets. So you see this contradiction going on all the time in science, and that's why we need to return to common sense, because the science is just so compromised today.
Our listeners are not getting it, Pam. What they're hearing from ABC News is if you eat the red meat that's in our grocery stores, you will run a risk of a 12% higher risk of death early, 16% higher risk of heart disease, and a 10% higher risk of cancer. Is that true if we talk about the meat that we're buying in our grocery stores?
Well, they know that the nitrites that are in processed meats are carcinogenic. And so essentially, if you're going to point the finger at the meat, it's how the meat has been, not just how the meat has been raised, how the animal has been raised and fed, but how the meat has been processed. So those are the variables to consider. When you're eating red meat from a grass-fed cow, from a local source, you know what? That meat is very safe. It's very healthy. The nutrient profile is considerably different than meat from a factory farmed animal.
In other words, what I'm hearing hints of is the report on ABC News and in Canada AM and in the everywhere. It has some truth to it, but you don't understand the reason why it has a horrible side effects is because of the nitrates that are in the meat and because these are not grass-fed cows.
That's right. The cows are fed usually genetically engineered soy, genetically engineered corn, bakery waste, citrus peel. I mean, God knows what they're being fed in these facilities. And it's how these cows are being fed that it changes the nutrient profile of the meat itself. And one of the things that happens, of course, is that the omega-3 to 6 ratio is thrown off. And so there's too much omega-6 fat in this meat, which is pro-inflammatory. And remember that the diseases that we're talking about here are inflammatory conditions. And another thing that happens is they're not going to have as much of the fat-soluble activators, the fat-soluble vitamins that should be in the fat. And that would be things like vitamin A and vitamin D, which are crucial for your nervous system.
In other words, you're both right. The report on ABC News is somewhat correct.
Well,
But it's misunderstood.
It's going to be misunderstood because of the headlines, because people are, you know, the headlines I've seen show that red meat is lethal, essentially. I mean, it's fear-mongering.
Absolutely. Short break. When we come back, we've got a Globe and Mail.
Yes, we have Mark Schatzker back on the show, and he is the author of a book called Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef. And he traveled all around the world, basically, and tasted different types of beef. And he concluded that grass-fed beef was the most tastiest.
We'll talk to Mark in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
News that might change your grocery list. A major medical study from the Harvard School of Public Health raising a giant red flag about eating red meat. We've heard concern before, but this new report warns that eating red meat every day can take years off your life.
Eat red meat and die. That's the Reader's Digest version. Pam, would you introduce Mark?
Yes. Today we have Mark Schatzker on the phone, and he is a food and travel writer for the Globe and Mail and author of the book One Man's Search, A Steak, One Man's Search for the World's Tastiest Piece of Beef. Good morning, Mark.
Hello.
Mark, give us the Reader's Digest version of the report last night on ABC News and in all the media.
Yeah, I think it was the nurses study, which is a famous study that Harvard's been doing for an awfully long time, tracking nurses, what they eat, and how long they live, and what kind of diseases they get. And I think the nutshell version is that the ones that ate more red meat didn't do so well. They had a higher, well, they didn't do as well. They had a higher chance of dying. I don't think it was considered an extreme risk, but it was statistically significant. That's the nutshell version of the report.
And what is your thought on this report?
There's a lot of thoughts. Nutritional science is a very difficult undertaking. There are so many variables. If you look at something like physics or chemistry where you can sit in a lab and just look at two things and how they interact, it's very easy to draw conclusions. In nutrition, when you're looking at people, there are all sorts of confounding variables. Genetics. What else do the people do? Do they smoke? Do they drink? I'm sure the people at Harvard were keeping track of some of this. But it's just not nearly as exact a science as other branches, and nutritionists would be the first to admit that. So there could be other things going on. I'm not saying I throw this study out the window, but we don't know, for example, if eating red meat is indicative of some other kind of behavior. Are the people who eat red meat perhaps less conscious of their overall health and diet in general? What else are they eating? Are they getting as much exercise? Do they drink more? Drinking is an interesting one because we all now believe that drinking one or two glasses or drinks a day is considered healthy. But the nutritionists will tell you that they don't know if and why the alcohol might be good for you. It could be that people who have enough restraint to drink one or two glasses of wine or scotch maybe just have their act together. They might be in a better socioeconomic situation. They might exercise more. So it can be difficult to take data like this and draw a firm conclusion.
If this had been a really very solid study, then they would have taken 100,000 people and controlled their diet, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and on top of that, other behaviors. And they did not do that.
They can't. I mean, yeah. That's just a study like that would cost trillions of dollars, especially if you did it over decades. So this is the issue that epidemiology, broadly speaking, has. But that's not to say it's useless. There's other things, too, that you can look at, which is what Pam talked about. What kind of red meat are they eating? And most of the red meat we eat in North America is what we call commodity beef, which comes out of factory farms. And there's reason to think that this beef isn't as healthy as the beef that we ate, let's say, before World War II, when cattle were eating more grass, which has more vitamins, which has a better fat profile. There are interesting counterexamples. There's pockets of native people up north that eat a tremendous amount of meat. And they seem to do okay. There are people in north of Sweden and Finland and parts of Russia called the Sami, and in the winter they eat nothing but reindeer. They eat no green vegetables. They seem to do fine. It could be genetics, but it could also be the kind of meat they're eating. Wild meat tends to have a much better fat profile, much more vitamin and nutrient dense.
Mark, let me just jump in here. I have a little bit of ESP, and one of our listeners in White Oaks just took his running shoe and threw it at the radio because he saw the ABC News report last night, and he said, okay, I got it figured out. I don't care what Pam says. Red meat kills you. And now you're saying, well, not so fast.
Well, listen, it could be if you're eating the red meat that's commonly available in grocery stores, and you're eating it processed half the time in the form of hot dogs or whatever. Yeah, loaded with fat and salt and nitrates. I'm not sure that is a good idea. I mean, people eating red meat every day. I wrote a book about steak. I love red meat. I don't eat it every day. Not because I'm on some kind of a health kick, but I also like pork. I also like chicken. I make pasta for dinner. So I think the problem is the message people take away. It gets simplified in the media, and then people simplify it even more, and they think of, red meat is like arsenic. It'll kill you. It's not. It's just not that simple.
Now, Mark, you touched on the differences between grass-fed meat and factory farm meat. I touched on it earlier. Maybe you could elaborate on your experiences while you were traveling around the world.
Well, we started feeding our cattle excessive amounts of grain, which isn't something they eat in nature, right around after World War II because of advances in fertilizer and, confinement farming, that sort of thing. And it drastically changes the nature of the beef. A lot more omega-6 fatty acids, there's less vitamins, there's less nutrients. So there's only one study I know of where people actually did a controlled study where they had people eating grass-fed beef and they also had people eating grain-fed beef and then looked at the results. And the results are exactly what you'd think. The people that ate the grass-fed beef had a more favorable profile of omega-3s to omega-6s in their blood. They had higher amounts of vitamin E, higher amounts of other vitamins. The lesson being, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm. I always say, Mark, you are what they ate.
That's right. So now, for a huge study like this, it's probably just not feasible for them to do that.
Okay.
So the only thing I would say is keep in mind the type of meat they're eating.
Okay. So, Mark, we need a takeaway from you on this study. Boil it down. What do you say to our listeners about this report if they're in a panic or in a defiance mode and saying, well, I don't care what the report says. I like my steaks. We want them to enjoy lunch today. So what's the takeaway for you?
Takeaway for me? Listen, my approach is eat a variety of things. The closer your food is to nature, the better it's going to be, the better it's going to taste. If you love meat and you want to eat it, make an effort to buy better quality meat. Don't buy the cheapest meat because you always pay for it in one way or another.
Does that mean organic?
I would say go for meat that's closer to pasture. You can still get organic beef that's heavily grain-fed. Organic is not the magic word that a lot of people wish it was.
Okay. I agree
okay,
completely.
What then do you ask your butcher for specifically, Mark?
You ask your butcher if they have pasture-raised pork, pasture-raised chicken, which basically doesn't exist in Canada thanks to our laws, and grass-fed beef. A lot of butchers won't have it. The availability is getting better, but some of the best places to find these things are at farmers markets.
This is going to be a consumer-driven market, essentially. I know I have a friend of mine who's a farmer outside of London here, and he just imported some Devon cows, and he's trying to bring back this breed of cows because it's the meat that comes from these cows when they're grass-fed is absolutely divine, apparently. So he's going to do that here in Canada as an entrepreneur.
Well, let me ask both of you, though. Not everybody's going to have the benefit of the conversation they've just heard, Mark, you and Pam and I, interpreting this study. They're just going to hear what they heard from ABC News and from Dr. Marla Shapiro this morning, who was basically saying the same thing, eat less beef, because red meat will kill you. So, Mark, what do you think the net effect will be of this study overall?
Well, you know, this message has been around for a while. I think it was the early 80s that people really started hammering beef and saying it was evil. I'm not sure it's going to have that much of an effect. I guess we'll see. I think the bigger threat to beef right now is just the rise in the price of grain. Beef are really inefficient converters of grain into meat, not nearly as good as, you know, pigs and chickens. And we're starting to use our grain to make ethanol. The world population is getting bigger and eating more and more of it. So I would say the bigger threat to beef is the price.
Now, Mark, are you working on any other projects or stories right now?
Well, one thing I'm very interested in is the relationship of, you know, all these things, how food tastes and how it's raised to its flavor and its and how good it is for you. And I think, you know, people talk a lot about, you know, soy products as substitutes. And I think there's a lot of reason to be wary of overly refined foods. I'm not against all refining of food, period. But the more artificial our diet gets, the more worried I get. Because I think, A, it doesn't taste good. And B, I don't think we know enough yet about how chemicals in nature, be they carbs or be they, you know, vitamins or flavonoids, we don't know enough about how they affect us. And the more we tinker with these things, the potentially more dangerous it could be.
Mark, awfully kind of you to join us on very short notice. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Schatzker, Globe and Mail
food and travel writer. Food. Yes. And his website is steakthebook.com. And another issue I want to bring up, Andy, is that, you know, it's important to get zinc from red meat. And unfortunately, people aren't eating a lot of oysters these days, which is probably one of the best sources of zinc out there. One of the next best sources of zinc is going to be red meat. And when I test people, because I can test people for their mineral levels, I see people who are meat phobic and they're usually terribly deficient in zinc. And the zinc is a crucial mineral.
Let me share a quick story with you and then I'll get you to comment about nutrition. I was at my chiropractor yesterday. I had a very sore arm, and I've had it for the last 2 or 3 months. And basically, the regimen is I go to my chiropractor every 6 weeks. She makes a little adjustment. I'm fine. But this time was extra sore. And she looked me in the eye, and she said, "Have you been taking your supplements?" And I said, "Well, it's funny you should mention that because I ran out a little while back, and I hadn't bothered to replace them." And she said, "Magnesium, my boy." And I said, "Well, you know, Pam says eat 3 square meals. She said, "She's right. She says, to get the magnesium you need, you'd have to eat broccoli the size of 2 basketballs.
Actually, that's not true, because broccoli is not a great source
of
minerals.
I think it was broccoli.
Yeah, no.
What would it be?
No, well, ideally, you'd want to get your magnesium from things like raw milk. I'll put you in the circle and get you some raw
Terrific.
Milk. Yeah.
Okay, but she said, get your supplement of magnesium. And you'll be sending me an email in a couple of days to thank me. We have just a minute left, Pam. Really want people not to misunderstand all this sensational coverage last night on ABC and on Canada AM. If you eat red meat, you will die. You say?
Eat your red meat. Make sure it's from a farmer where the cow has been out on pasture. That's your gold standard. And if you can't get the gold standard, stick to the outer periphery of a grocery store. And please don't feel guilty about it, because the alternative to eating red meat means that you're not going to eat red meat and you could miss out on a lot of important nutrients as well.
Terrific. I knew you wouldn't back down, Pam Kling. It's just not like you. It's not in your nature. Terrific. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Andy.
11 o'clock news just around the corner. When we come back,